This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:49, you're listening to The Morning Run. Now, as expected, we all thought that 2022 would be a year of recovery, but it has started quite bumpy, especially for the small, medium enterprises here in Malaysia. So at first, it was the threat of the Omicron variant to disastrous floods and price hikes, as well as labour shortages.
But small businesses, again, are bearing the brunt of these challenging times. So as we head into Chinese New Year next week, what is the sentiment like for retailers and SMEs? Has footfall and revenge spending returned to the shelves?
So for more, we have on the line with us Dr. William Ng, Chairman of the Small and Medium Enterprises Association, otherwise known as Samantha. Good morning, Dato. Now, this weekend is the last weekend before Chinese New Year. So what's the on-the-ground sentiment been like for retailers and SMEs? Are Malaysians back to one of their favourite pastimes, shopping and even eating?
Good morning, and thank you for having Samantha again. Well, as you can see, except for one or two popular malls, most outlets are still quiet compared to before. I think this is both because of COVID as well as because most people have shifted to buying online. Even the F&B outlets, for example, especially the smaller ones, are reporting slower than usual sales. But we also need to add a disclaimer here that when Chinese New Year is in January or in this year's 1st February, retail sales will usually be slower as opposed to when it is in mid or end February.
So who's doing well and who's not doing well? Because you were just saying a couple of malls were doing pretty well, but the bulk majority were not, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So the usual suspect, like the one or two larger ones in Klang Valley, are doing quite okay.
But is this the case truly that, you know, consumers have changed the way they shop? Or is this a function of how Malaysians actually feel? Because we are running a poll this morning asking people whether they're spending as much as they were before the pandemic. Is this sentiment driven?
I think, again, it is both because of the pandemic. And also, I think most people has really started buying the New Year stuff online, on the marketplaces and so on.
So really, it is a channel shift, what you're saying, right? I mean, so do you feel this is going to be a structural shift that people will or continue to buy online? Or do we expect maybe some midterm, long-term recovery back to, you know, on you know, physical retail?
I think, of course, people will still continue buying online. At the same time, I think once the pandemic has seen some kind of a conclusion, people will tend to go back to buying physically somewhat.
Dato, I'm just curious, among your members, right, in Samantha, have they actually shifted and pivoted also to then recognize that, okay, you know, customers want omni-channel distribution? Have they done so successfully or are they left behind?
Of course, almost everyone who didn't have a store online, especially the retailers, would have one by now. So that goes without saying.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, when you think about the different product categories of retail, right, who do you think is going to recover faster? You know, do you think the electronics, the retailers will do a bit better than perhaps, you know, the smaller ticket items?
Oh, almost every electrical electronics retailers that are in our membership list has reported better than used sales last year. But all these are almost completely online. So online retail sales has been doing very well for the electrical retailers, but for almost every other segment, retail generally has been quite dampened the past 1 year. F&B we thought would do very well. The Christmas season we thought people are expecting a steep recovery in Christmas, but in reality, I think people are still not dining out like before. So and shoppers are still very cautious about going into shopping malls.
So the volume in terms of takeaways and deliveries cannot compensate for the dine-ins even at this current juncture. Is that going to be the case?
Yeah, far from being able to compensate. A lot of F&B players are reporting that margin has been quite compressed, especially when they partner with delivery partners. So most F&B that we talk to definitely want and prefer that people actually dine in, because that's where the real money is coming in from.
And so then when I reflect, right, and you think about the retail landscape, you know, you talk about online being where it is and it's going to stay where it is. But you also see the recent news about LalaPort, all these brand new shopping malls physically appearing, right? Do they stand a chance to survive, or are they so niche that they could probably, you know, ride through it?
I think this whole scenario has not just affected the retailers, but also the mall operators. So new players like LaPorte has actually been quite aggressive in terms of their rental and in terms of how they actually bring in retailers. So again, this is not just about retailers. Even the malls are affected quite severely. But being a new mall, they have no choice, I suppose, you know, in trying to bring in the right mix, in offering some form of discounts to retailers.
So it's a battle, right? It's like a diminishing return. They're just trying to steal from each other, isn't it? These malls from each other, correct?
I think generally people are hopeful that once the COVID has resolved a little bit, that retail sales will actually recover. I think people are betting on that.
And I want to continue on this topic of the challenges that SMEs face, right? Because we saw headlines that there are labor shortages and also price hikes. How much of an obstacle has this been in this year?
Obviously, if you really look at the past couple of years, in fact, last year has been worse. I think as early as October last year, we already said there's a huge labor shortage. And although the government has recently allowed employment, if you have seen, of all foreign workers in all sectors, it will still take us at least 2 to 3 months before those workers come in. So I think the labor shortage is very real. It's causing a lot of problem for the SMEs.
Can you actually hire locals? Why is the problem? Is it because wages are just too low?
A lot of people say so. But in reality, we know for the fact that some members, for example, are looking at hiring technicians that are paying 3,000, 3,500, 4,000 ringgit for technicians. And and they can't hire fast enough. Either they can't get the right candidate. And sometimes when you call the candidates, they don't even show up. So sometimes it's not about the salary. In fact, most of the time, it's not about salary anymore. It's really about the suitability and availability of locals.
And the skill and willingness, right, to learn and adapt to this customer-centric environment. And I want to just shift our attention, you know, to another cost structure, which is your financing cost. You know, we've talked a lot about these bank loan moratoriums and interest waivers, and you're due to end in February. But many are calling for it to be extended, especially since the recent floods, you know, that have damaged so many businesses. I presume you're in the camp where you agree that these moratoriums should be extended, right?
Yeah, incidentally, we had actually one of the first to call for the 3 months moratorium for those SMEs who are affected. And I think we're quite fortunate the government has responded by announcing instead of 3 months, said, no, let's give 6 months to those who are affected by the flood. And frankly, as much as I personally and also Samantha would like to see the moratorium to go forever, I think our SMEs may be better served if we had to gradually resume some semblance of business normalcy. And that would mean starting to pay some of the delayed loans. Having said that, there are already some form of soft lending mechanism in place. Most banks that we're talking to, and even Bank Negara, already have in place programs to restructure repayment for those who cannot repay immediately at the previous agreed schedule. So while we are not calling for an extension of moratorium, we do believe that the soft lending is already in place, and we think that's the right way to go.
And Dato, you know, inflation is the new buzzword for 2022, and we are seeing rising prices. Do you think this is temporary? And can actually these rising prices even be passed on to consumers?
I think we can expect prices to continue going up. There's really no way, you know, as SMEs, we can absorb all the costs. If it's just from one source, say raw materials, then we can probably contain it and tell you that it's going to be temporary. But we're looking at multiple sources here. Costs of raw materials have gone up. Logistic costs have gone up. Labor costs, as you know, you have mentioned, has gone up. And now that we also signed the RCEP and soon the CPTPP, we can also expect compliance costs to go up. So as it is, we're already working towards phasing out single-use plastics, and naturally, even that replacement cost is going to be quite steep. So I think we will only see some stability when the pandemic is over and some of the restrictions, including border closures and so on, are lifted. But until then, I think we can expect to see prices to continue going up.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Dato' William Ng, chairman of the Small and Medium Enterprise Association, otherwise known as Samantha, highlighting that it still remains quite challenging times for SMEs and retailers because people aren't going back to the shops as much as they used to, or they aren't actually eating as much out.
Very evident from the poll. 77% say no, they're not going to spend as much because times are hard.
Yeah. It isn't full 100% recovery yet.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.